Welcome to Divorce Dialogues. I'm Catherine Miller. Divorce Dialogues brings expert guests to the airways to talk through your divorce questions and fill in the gray areas about separating. From thinking about divorce, to how to behave during divorce, to what to do after, this is Divorce Dialogues. Welcome to Divorce Dialogues. I'm Catherine Miller. I'm the founder of the Miller Law Group and a trainer at the Center for Understanding and Conflict. And I am on a mission to change how people divorce and help them divorce with dignity. And I'm super excited that my guest today is my friend, Heather Brooke Quick. She's the founder and CEO of Florida Women's Law Group, which is located in Jacksonville, Florida. And her vision for Florida Women's Law Group began with a passion for changing the way women divorce in Florida. And consistent with her message and mission of women's empowerment, Heather has published three books, Women's Guide to Divorce in Florida, Is Divorce Right for You?, and The Women's Guide to Becoming a Successful Entrepreneur. Heather continues to work on issues that affect women and participate in programs designed to elevate women in the area of business and particularly as entrepreneurs. Welcome, Heather Quick, to Divorce Dialogues. It's so fun to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Catherine. It is a pleasure to be here with you today.
So I know that your practice is really centered around women and divorce. And so what is it that inspired you to change the way women divorce as opposed to just anyone?
So when I was first practicing family law, I began to notice patterns that I saw with women in going through the divorce. And the consistent pattern that I saw was that they undervalued what they had brought to the marriage and maybe what they were entitled to, and they would give up, right? Before it was really rather than, you know, fight through. And they just felt like, you know, I could step in and give them that strength to continue, you know, fighting, advocating for them really so that they end up in a much better space and, you know, usually financially. And, you know, I watched my mother do that, and that really is the inspiration. She was divorced a few times. And I noticed that, you know, until maybe the third time she got divorced, she would just be like, well, whatever you give me. And, you know, she finally stood up for herself and what she brought to that marriage. And it, you know, that's how we value things, right? Financially. And I just feel like there are so many women out there who just don't value what they bring to the marriage. Their husband tells them, you know, go get a job. This is my money. You haven't earned it. And I felt like there was a real opportunity for me to help these women and, you know, really stand up for themselves.
Well, it's interesting, Heather, because it sounds like what you're talking about is a real sort of mindset shift about what is mine and what is ours versus what is yours. Because I remember in New York, way back in the early days of equitable distribution, meaning it used to be in New York that assets were divided by title. So if the assets were in the husband's name, he got them. If the assets were in the wife's name, she got them. And if they were in joint names, then they were divided. But mostly in those days, the assets were in the husband's name. Now, remember that actually, it wasn't until the 70s that a married woman could have a credit card in her own name without her husband signing off on it. And so equitable distribution went into in New York in early 80s. So this was a very sort of patriarchal view of assets right at the time. And in those days, so I didn't graduate from law school until a little bit later on, but it wasn't that much later. And in those days, I used to really like to represent women better because the husband was really pissed off that she was getting usually half his assets. And the wife, even though the studies at the time showed that women post-divorce were financially less well off, she was thrilled because she was getting half his assets, right? And so this sort of sense as to what's ours, what's marital, what is a financial partnership and what goes into it has been evolving for decades. And I think when you think about what you're talking about, it's that making sure that people really, women really do appreciate the financial value of the contributions they're making to the partnership that aren't necessarily bringing home a paycheck or a big paycheck. Is that right?
Absolutely. Because there is, and there is quite a contribution. And, you know, it's easy to at least acknowledge, I think, for many women when they have children and they've stayed at home, but even if there's not children. And I think that that's why that law, you know, why we recognize that, and that you make a contribution maybe to your spouse's career, you know, as an executive, and your support maintaining the home, you know, going on the social outings, the company outings. There is value in that. And so when you've been married, and, you know, obviously the longer you've been married, the more the assets are marital and or have at least a marital component is the way Florida looks at it. And if you, as a woman, just walk away from that, you really can put yourself in a very difficult financial position. And I just think it's important that you, as a woman, which you're right, is a mindset, see what you brought to that marriage as valuable.
And so other than that, what kinds of issues do you think affect women in divorce in particular?
Well, right now, you know, in Florida, the law just changed last year. But even before that, I think that women are certainly impacted by the decisions regarding the children, and which is time sharing of children. Most people refer to as custody of the children, and as well as what that financial support will be. And those are the two big things that I think many women really debate and maybe don't move forward on a divorce because of those two issues, their children. And how am I going to financially either support myself, you know, and my children? And that is where they will always compromise on the finances if they think it will benefit their children or they think they're going to have more time with their children. And that really affects them in the long run most often.
You know, it's really interesting because let's tease that apart a little bit, if that's all right, Heather. Well, I think what you're saying is that women often have a vulnerability in feeling like, well, if they make a financial compromise or take less financially, that then they'll be able to preserve or protect their children in a way that might not necessarily be true. Is that one thing that you're saying?
Yes. And very often it starts with the time sharing. So recently in Florida, was changed. So now there's a basis of, you know, where it starts, you know, how with the laws and they read, well, the premise is that, you know, they will have equal time sharing. And that did not used to be the case. Although in varying parts of the state, you know, it was more, you'd see that more often, but up here in Northeast Florida, it was not. And it was more of a, whether it was a 70-30 or 60-40, it was not necessarily a straight week on, week off all the time, because obviously there is the, you know, best interest of the children factors. But so many women in my experience really felt like they, you know, could not be without their children half the time, or that their husband, soon to be ex-husband, couldn't care for them half the time, and that the children it would be in their best interest to be with them more often on a, you know, schedule that was consistent. So what I have seen in my experience is they're willing to negotiate the financial aspects of whether it's support or the equitable distribution, you know, basically in exchange for more time with the children. And that can only be in mediation, as you know, not right in the court, but they more often than not are willing to do that. And I think at the end of the day, what you said is, you know, you were saying, well, and does it really pan out that way? Well, unfortunately, I think many individuals going through a divorce, they can fixate on one overnight or two overnights. And in the grand scheme of things, you're able to do when you are able to be objective and, you know, maybe get a little further away from it and see that's not going to affect really their life or your life. Negatively, it's just, you know, part of life and visiting with both parents. And so the financial cuts you're going to take or compromises you're going to make for that, I just don't think are always in a women's best interest.
I'm Catherine Miller, and you're listening to Divorce Dialogues, a podcast dedicated to educating people about divorce-related topics so everyone can divorce with dignity. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts to be sure that you don't miss an episode. And I am talking today with Heather Quick about women and divorce and her women-only divorce practice. And Heather, I think that it's really kind of interesting that as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking that well, actually, in an effort to protect the children, women can sometimes put the children in play as a negotiating tactic with regard to money, which is exactly the opposite thing of what they're trying to do in actually doing that. Does that make any sense to you?
It does. And it's not always, usually, well, not usually. I mean, a lot of times it's, you know, maybe we look at it, well, maybe that's what he's trying to do, because the amount of time with the children absolutely affects the amount of child support based on, you know, the calculated overnights. And so many, many men, in my experience, you know, have put that out there. Well, I want them more often to pay less child support. And that can be part of it. Well, do you really want them? Will you pay the same amount of child support if you were to get them that much time? You know, you try to figure out, is there a financial motive here or not? And many times, and it's, you know, interesting, because I was just speaking with, you know, one of my guests, you know, talking about divorce, and it was, you know, the emotional decision making, yeah. and which is, of course, very common and understandable, but often it leads to not the best decisions in a divorce that are long term. So, but yeah, it puts the children in play as a negotiating tool. And either, you know, I've seen both parties do it. Absolutely.
100%. And actually, it's one of the reasons why I stopped litigating after I got divorced myself, because I realized that with everybody really doing their best to try to protect the children, when you had the custody conversation and the money conversation happening at the same time, it's really, really hard not to do that. And even if you don't want to. And so it's like you're trying to do the best thing, and it's just really hard not to see time and money as being trade-offs. You know, like I often confuse money and calories. Now, definitely not the same thing, but kind of in my mind, a similar sort of thing. Anyway, you know, one thing that's been happening in my practice over the last 10 years is I have a lot more cases now where the woman makes more money than the man and has evolved into the primary breadwinner. Do you have that in your practice as well?
We see that much, much more than we used to, most certainly.
And how do you see that changing or not changing, the woman-focused element of divorce?
Well, what I have noticed in those clients, and, you know, especially in the female breadwinner, and the father usually maybe does have a career, but his is more flexible, like just a complete reverse. And so I'll use like a school teacher, for example, just a complete reverse, where his schedule is more amenable to the children's, and, you know, the wife is the primary breadwinner. And many times those women are afraid to move forward with divorce because their husband's like, well, you'll never get the kids. You're a terrible mother. You work all the time. And that is not true either. It's going to really have the exact same evaluation. And so many women feel like, oh my gosh, I've been punished for, you know, advancing my career. And they feel that, right, from that type of negativity and that talk that they listen to from their husband. But they do, they question it. They wonder, well, is the court going to still, you know, am I still going to have my children at least equal time? And the answer is generally yes. It's going to be an adjustment for both of you. But yes, I mean, it works that way. So yes, we are seeing that. And of course, in my experience, women don't like alimony, don't like paying alimony any more than men do. In fact, I do think worse. So that, you know, and that, again, we have to evaluate that situation as well.
Yeah, I think that sometimes women in that situation feel like they've done everything in the marriage. I mean, maybe he's gone to pick up some, you know, or dropped off and picked up at soccer or play dates or whatever. But the woman often feels like, I made the money, I did the shopping, I took care of the doctor's appointments, I arranged for camp activities, I did. So he doesn't deserve, or he can't step up to him. And then the same, some of the things that you were saying earlier about whether or not dad is actually capable of caring for the kids that much. And in that situation, they're also feeling a little bit possessive about the money and not wanting to share it, because it's like, why should he get half, or, you know, or close to half, when I did everything and he did nothing, which obviously dad doesn't think he did nothing. Right. This is just a divorcing perspective and a moment in time that they're thinking. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, and often, and sometimes that comes into play on the alimony because she may have the ability, but he might not have the need, right? He may still work and not, you know, in the traditional way that we think of a stay-at-home parent, like doing everything. And I think this, and I know the statistics show that the majority of women still carry over 60% of the duties at home, even when they work full-time. So it is very often that, yes, that's the case. And they feel that way on the financial side, without a doubt.
Heather, what led you to write these three books? You've been very prolific. So tell us about your life as an author and the message that you're trying to get out with your books.
So with those books is it really just educate, you know, women out there. One, with the divorce, the Women's Guide to Divorce, which we will have a new edition coming out here sometime later this year. It is, again, to educate them on divorce in Florida and have just a cursory understanding of what's going on in a way that, you know, a non-lawyer can understand. Because, as you know, many times that it can be feel so complicated and confusing. And then the second book I wrote was, you know, whether or not the women should get divorced, because so many women were coming to me at that time. That one, it's been a while since I wrote that, and they just didn't know. And that's not a question I can answer for someone, right? That's a very personal question. And I felt like I had an opportunity. I could create a book that gave them things to think about and to maybe help them decide if that's where they want to go. And then the Women's Guide to Being an Entrepreneur is just really based on many things that I've learned as I've built my business. And I feel that, you know, so many women out there can do the same. And just with, you know, a little bit of a guide and some tips, that was really where I went with that, which hopefully, you know, some of our women after they get divorced are looking for that and I can help them.
You're listening to Divorce Dialogues, and I'm Catherine Miller. Divorce Dialogues has been educating people about divorce and relationship issues for over 10 years. Subscribe to the podcast, and don't forget to check out our previous episodes on the podcast website, divorcedialogues.com. And I'm talking today with Heather Quick about women and divorce. And Heather, I wanted you to talk about your books before you tell people about how they can contact you, because in case they're interested in learning more about the books, please also mention where they could get them.
Absolutely. And you can find out about our law firm at www.floridawomenslawgroup.com. And our books are all on Amazon, as well as some links on our website. And we also have the podcast, Women Winning Divorce, as well as a Facebook group for women called Women Winning Divorce. And you can reach out under any of those things and find out more about our practice, myself and our team. Thank you, Catherine.
Well, speaking about your team, I know that you also have an all-female team of attorneys. So you're all women helping all women. What's that like?
Yes. It's amazing. It really is. We have such an amazing group of women, and it is inspiring every day that I get to come in here and be surrounded by intelligent, hardworking, and compassionate women. They care so much about our clients, about what they do. And they love to learn and excel. And of course, win on a very competitive group, which makes it a lot of fun around here at times when we have contests. But it's really an amazing, amazing situation. One of our attorneys been with us 3 years. She said, you know, that someone cautioned her, oh, goodness, you know, what's it going to be like to work with all women? And she shared with me and some of her former jobs, it was even more drama when there were men involved, like, you know, in those particular offices, and that this has been, you know, one of her best working environments. So it's great. We love it. And I'm honored that they choose to work here because we have a great team.
That's wonderful. I know that Julie Roundtree was on your team and she was a previous guest on the podcast. And how do you work with her? Because she does a little bit of a different thing than what you do.
Yeah. So Julie has been a practicing attorney for over 20 years or right around 20 years. And so she worked full time as an attorney in my office probably about 10 to 12 years ago. And so she worked for quite some time, full time. And then just after she had her third child, she stayed home. And then she decided she wanted to become a divorce coach. So she created that practice. She had been a mediator. She's a mediator as well. But she began doing divorce coaching. And I have been pestering her ever since. You know, I think her daughter turned probably one or two is like when she was ready to come back, if ever. And so recently, I think over a year, maybe a year and a half, she's been back of counsel working with us. And of course, her coaching business is separate, but we really try to encourage many of our clients to work with her in that field, because it just gives them so much better of an experience with their lawyers when they have a coach to work through a lot of the emotional things and the things that are overwhelming to them in the process.
And Julie aside, what do you think about divorce coaching for women? And do you think it's generally a good idea to have a place to process those feelings separate from your attorney's office?
Yes, I think it's a really great thing. And I advocate for coaching, you know, separate, not instead of therapy, but separate, because coaching has objectives and accountability. It's just moving forward, right? We're not just processing old feelings, emotions, and you know, where they came from. Coaching is more of a forward-looking relationship that can help them get things done. And that, I believe, really helps clients work with their attorneys more, because they have someone other than their attorney holding them accountable for decisions maybe they need to make and for things they need to provide to their attorney, and to process maybe some of the emotional things that a coach usually is a little bit more equipped to handle than maybe their attorney.
Yeah. I heard someone say years ago that the difference between therapy and coaching is that therapy is more like unpacking your suitcase and coaching is more like carrying it across the street.
Very good analogy. Very good analogy.
In our last minutes together, Heather Quick, I want to talk about your focus on women and entrepreneurs. And how did you expand your focus from just focusing on divorce to helping women excel as entrepreneurs? Because I think that's such an interesting journey.
As a woman, entrepreneur and business owner, and also a wife and mother, I understand that, you know, those things can seem overwhelming to women and that there's a lot of risk you have to take, but there's so much reward in that. And I believe very strongly in women working and women, you know, especially if they can work for themselves and really create that schedule. I wouldn't say, you know, yeah, you have flexibility. You can, you know, sometimes I feel like at the beginning, it's like, yeah, I'm flexible to work at 5 a.m., right? And then get up the kids, do breakfast, and maybe work sometimes in the evening until I, you know, began to leverage my time more. But I just see so many women maybe who opt out of the workplace or sacrifice things that really help them be so successful in life. And I believe a better mother and even a better wife and companion for everybody, if they can have that outlet for their creativity, their intelligence, and it really is better for everyone. And so I really support, you know, women, obviously all my staff and our clients and other women out there to just really explore that and don't be afraid to go for it and really make the most of all your gifts. And I think that also then you can really find some true financial freedom when you're able to do that.
I love that, because it's a circle back to the beginning of the show and talking about women and finances and having the wherewithal to really own your financial destiny. So that's really great. Well, Heather Quick, founder of the Women's Law Group in Jacksonville, thank you so much for being my guest on Divorce Dialogues. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Catherine. It has been a pleasure to be here. I look forward to your show. I love it. And I'm honored that you had me on today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.